I'm Carmi.
I'm Laurie.
Welcome to Momsters.
Monster.
Are we talk now?
Yeah, you can talk now and it will hear. The microphone will pick up your voice.
It's on?
Yeah, it's on.
Line?
Yeah, Uncle Robbie can hear everything you say.
It's recording.
It's on?
Like a video.
I like to sing.
You want to sing? Yeah. Are you going to sing?
Copyright
okay.
Free, Lincoln.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh. No. Remember what we said?
We don't have to touch it,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, and a finger away, right?
Yeah, we don't have to be right
keep
on top of it.
Keep your finger away.
It can hear you from here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, there you go.
You're okay? Oh, it's okay.
You know why? Because you do your...
What
microphone does he have that he puts his mouth on?
Bluey.
Yeah, your Bluey microphone you could put your mouth on.
But this one's super,
this is a
super
different
strong
microphone.
So it can
see,
hear you
because
far
it
away.
Has these things on it, the cords.
Yeah, so it doesn't need.
So it doesn't need. You don't have to be right on it.
Hello. Sir. Hello, Kaba.
So can you say what our names are and say that this is the Momster podcast?
Yes.
Momsters. Okay.
Monster
podcast.
Broadcast.
Podcast. Very good. And whose lap are you sitting on?
What?
Who are you with?
La la.
And who else? Who's this?
Mommy.
And what's mommy's first name?
Carmela.
Yes, mm-hmm. Carmela. Yes.
La la.
Mommy.
Hello.
We got all of our dogs at the most inconvenient of times. I think we got Mufasa the day before the Kesha concert. Good times. go Kesha. And we got Coco.
I remember Coco was on the boat with us.
Yeah, 3 weeks before I took the bar, I think we got Coco, which was nice on one hand because it got me out of the house walking around, which you don't do when you're studying for 14 hours a day. But, yeah, I don't think most people get themselves into a situation where they're training a puppy 3 weeks before the bar. Just me. I have to
just
add
you.
Little challenges.
I know. Yeah.
And
then Indy came.
Yeah, Indy just happened. My husband's not thrilled. I think he would have voted no, but he made the mistake of letting us into the store the second time. So the first two dogs, Mufasa, and Mufasa's around somewhere. Mufasa and Coco were adopted from North Shore Animal League of America, which is the world's largest no-kill shelter. Highly recommend in Port Washington, I think, out on Long Island. So that's when we were living in Queens for law school.
Mm-hmm.
Indy is a little diva puppy. We got her. We bought her on Broad Street in Red Bank from like a fancy luxury brand place where... I don't know, Coco and Lincoln just like weren't hitting it off. And
yeah.
I think it's really important as someone who didn't grow up with a dog to grow up with that connection because I'm obsessed with dogs now. So we went into the store, I think it was Memorial Day weekend last year. I convinced Patrick to let us go into the store. And like if it wasn't, Indy is basically identical to Coco, except she's a fuzzy fluff mess. Like she's a Bernedoodle, so she's all kinky. But she looks like she could be Coco's daughter, especially
right,
when
same
she
was coloring.
Smaller.
Yes, yeah. Same coloring. Like, yeah.
Because she has the Bernese coloring, the classic Bernese coloring. So the first time we went in, and we were like, oh my God, she'd be so perfect. She looks like Coco's daughter. And Patrick got me out of the store, and we went the whole weekend.
And then he let you back somehow.
I survived without getting the dog, and then we went back on Monday and there she still was. And what am I gonna do, not get the dog for the second time? I wasn't gonna leave her there. So she's actually been really fantastic with Lincoln. They formed an instant bond.
Oh my
They're
goodness
super close.
Yes, you yeah. can tell that. Yeah, and if you ask Lincoln, Indy
is his puppy.
Mm-hmm. And his favorite.
And Coco is
yes.
my puppy.
I was always afraid, you know, that was something when my, when Robbie first started kindergarten and we went to the first open house, I hated it. I hated it. I'm like, Dave, all these moms know each other, and they're all friends, and how am I ever going to fit into this? And I had so much anxiety about school in general fitting in that it was just, it was more traumatic for me. And I tried not to let him, I hope I succeeded in not letting him see that. But eventually, you know, then I started to get to know the moms. And then I guess somehow you become one of them.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't even really know it, and you're one of them.
There's that vicarious fear, though, that, and I don't know if it's just because we have a little bit of social anxiety to begin with, but that, like, oh my gosh, he's going to go to school and he's not going to have friends, or people are going to be mean to him.
Or who are they going to sit with at lunch?
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, the most, every parent worries about that.
And it's just like, my sweet, perfect baby, you're scared to, like, send him into the world, and he has to deal with how harsh it is.
Oh, I was worried about Maria this year, and she's a senior.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's she going to sit with at lunch? I text her
all
the time.
Probably the same people as last year.
Now she is. No, no. Different, because their lunches change. High school, so their lunches change.
What's your name?
Lincoln.
Lincoln? And what's your last name?
Sessler.
And how old are you?
3.
And do you have any puppies?
Yes.
And how many puppies do you have?
3.
3 puppies also. Mm-hmm. And what are your puppies' names?
Indy and Coco and Bessa.
Indy, Coco, and
Mufasa.
Mufasa.
No, Bestasta.
Mufasa. Copyright reasons.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You like the microphone.
And what's your favorite thing to do?
Wait. I'm hungry. Okay, here, take it, Lars. What's your favorite thing to do?
My kitchen.
Your kitchen.
Your kitchen, there you go. Okay, so we'll have to clean this then.
It's just Reese's Puffs.
It's Reese's Puffs. Somebody's going to hold this and go, peanut butter. Oh, my God, it does smell like peanut butter.
Oh, God, I hope there's no allergies. And we have our new baby on the way coming in December. Your little baby sister, right?
Yeah. And what do we have a name for baby sister yet?
Yeah.
What?
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah.
Lincoln's name for baby sister is blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Okay. There you go.
Yes.
Pancake. Very good.
All right. So in the spirit of vulnerability, let's talk about how we got here in this wonderful peak of our careers.
Well, that's just it. In the peak of our careers. Like, here we are. All right. Doing a podcast because we are both unemployed.
We are.
And, oh, I love Play-Doh. Sure. Thank you. Oh, this is great. It's great for my ADD. So I lost my job about 4 months ago. I can't really say lost my job because they don't look at it as losing my job, even though I'm unemployed. They called it corporate restructuring, which is
yes,
what it is. So that's it. So here I am, an old person with older children trying to find a job. However, Carmi came up with this idea of doing Momsters. And I actually really loved the idea because, one, I have worked in radio before. And I always say, like, just give me a microphone and let me do my thing. And that's why I'm so enjoying this. And to give me an outlet for all that creativity that was lost over the last 2 years of my life.
So everyone here has experience except for me, which is fine.
Well, no, you
got
experience.
We've got Robbie on the camera.
My son. Yes.
Actual film experience, and we've got actual radio experience, and I'm just here for fun.
No, she's the law. So she's the law. So if anything comes up, we just defer to her.
And as a disclaimer, nothing in this podcast or any podcast it should be considered legal or medical advice. And this is just an area for banter and discussion and not actual professional advice.
Well, that's really nice. I say that too about when I do. Oh, so like another part of my job, because I guess I should mention this too, is that I am a psychic medium and I do readings for people.
And you've been on television now.
Galleries, and I've been on national television, and I had my own radio show. Twice, so 2 different stations, and for consecutive years, 1 for 5 consecutive years, so that's like a pretty darn good thing.
So you're the real talent here. Yeah. So I'm here because, oh my God, I hate
because you don't have a job either because you were pregnant and.
All right. So I find this. I'm like, I'm so humiliated still. And
you can't be humiliated about this.
I'm having a really bad pregnancy. It's rough. It's I have HG, hyperemesis, and that means that I'm sick like almost all the time. I'm having a good hour right now, which is nice.
That's because you're distracted.
But it's been rough, and it's been really unpredictable. So I, you know, you think you're going to get better at 15 weeks. You think you're going to be good for your second trimester.
So with her her HG, so she thinks she's going to be okay, and the doctors told her at a certain period of time, I think it was like 15 weeks or 12 weeks, that it would go away, and it hasn't. So we are now at week 24.
Yeah, and so this is legitimate disability. I mean, I was on disability, and the, you know, it's tough because you have these rights that exist.
But you don't.
But first of all, I mean, there's no job protection under disability. And it just so happened that I switched jobs within a year. So I had no job protection under FMLA, which is BS. That's a big hole and gap in the law that we can talk about later. But
so because you were missing so much work.
So, yeah, I took a couple weeks of disability and came back. And then, you know, people expect you to be better then. And unfortunately... That was not the case. Like, I felt better for a day or two, and then I got extremely sick again, and I was throwing up seven times a day. And you're just not billing 8 hours when you're throwing up seven times a day. And even if you are, like, you're not in your best mind at that point. You're a mess. I had low iron. I was fatigued. And still I have these symptoms. It's not like it went away overnight. So I think my mistake is I should have taken more disability. I should have been more accepting of my own limitations because
We think we could do it all. We truly believe we could do it all.
People, I mean, not anything against our family, but our family is all about the labor force and not so much about mental health or physical health. And so there was this, like, oh, my God, the stigma of
you're not working.
Taking disability.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you're entitled to it, even though it's your right, even though I had a legit and have a legitimate disability, it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that you're taking that. Like, they're not going to like you. And
yeah.
So at the end of the day, it turned out that I couldn't. Look, I can't bill. I can't bill 8 hours a day. I still can't.
Yeah, but eventually you will. You can't look at it. This is temporary, right? Because pregnancy is 9 months, right? 40 weeks. How could I forget? It's 40 weeks, right? So eventually after this, and after you have your child, and I have another great
granddaughter. No, oh my God. You're so old now. I aged you so much there.
Yeah, just put another 20 years on me. Yes. So how many times did I drive myself to the emergency room?
My God.
Right. I would drive. My appendix almost burst, and I'm driving myself to the emergency room because you have no one. Yeah. And I'm sure I could have called a friend, but it's just I drove myself. We don't have family. There's nothing you can do.
Honestly, it's the price of independence, and I totally respect the independence because I have a mom. And, like, you know, we live in a culture that was really involved. And so to be able to, like, take a step back from a community where every single person knows your last name and just says, like, oh, which Gubbiati are you? Which Morganti are you? Like, it's cool to be independent and in your own community and making your own connections.
Oh, sure. And you can reinvent yourself, which is great. Yes, like, just great.
The cost of that is...
You have to be extremely reliant upon yourself, which makes it very difficult as a mom. Mm-hmm. What about the moms who are at the hospital with their kids at the emergency department, and then they have to get to work the next day?
They shouldn't have to get to work the next day. I mean, there should be.
They shouldn't, but they are, and that's a terrible thing. And that's not even where the mom guilt part comes in.
No.
Because you are guilt. You feel horrible that you know, like, what are you going to do with your children? Do I take the day off? Do I not?
Well, and then you also feel like you're not living up to being the best mom. You're not living up to being the best employee.
Yes.
You're just half-assing everything in life because you can't do 100% of everything all at the same time. I mean, it's literally a full-time job to raise a kid, and you have a full-time job on top of that.
Right.
So it's two full-time jobs.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's zero recognition of that in our society. I mean, there's
And that's why we're here. Because we're here to say we understand and we know what it's like. And
sometimes it just sucks. Like, there's really tough times. Like, this pregnancy, real, real tough. And I think the first couple years of, you know, I mean, we haven't started school. I'm assuming it's going to make things easier. But it's tough trying to find and manage childcare.
So we're at 10 weeks this weekend.
Before the baby comes. Not 10 weeks into your pregnancy. Yes.
10 weeks to go, 30 weeks down. So I'm very excited. Third trimester, made it, and I can't wait to not be pregnant anymore.
I can't wait to meet the baby.
I know. I saw something on one of my friends posted. Actually, she has a really cute account. It's called My Journal Brought to Life. And she said yesterday, I'm feeling grateful and grumpy. And I was like, that is my pregnancy mood.
Grateful and grumpy.
Because it's such a convergence of feelings. Like, I had a hard time getting to this point and, you know, feeling good about the fact that, like, I'm going to have this baby. This, you know, because I had such a hard time last year with miscarriages.
Right.
And so I'm so grateful that this pregnancy stuck and is healthy and is coming to full term now. But at the same time, it really sucks. It's been like a shitty pregnancy. It has not been a fun experience.
Remember when I read your cards and I told you December?
Yeah, I do. Oh, we should do card reading one day.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
We have to do that.
Yes. But I read your cards and I said December.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's when I knew. And you're like, oh, no.
I think I was pregnant then.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know.
And it wasn't.
And that wasn't the right pregnancy.
Yeah, so.
So, yes. So
I had December. I had two miscarriages last year. One was very early on. It was a chemical pregnancy. So it didn't really physically affect me too much. The second one I had, like, it was back to back. So it was December. And then January, I was pregnant again. And that experience was heart-wrenching. Actually, you were the one that told me. So I went to my 6 weeks appointment, and I was like, you go for your ultrasound, no big deal. Because they don't really let you see the OB-GYN until you're 6 weeks in. There's no, initial meeting.
Yeah.
Let's discuss this. How's it going?
Yeah, whatever. You pee on the stick, and that's how you
know. They don't even want to see you for the first 6 weeks because it's, honestly, because it's so likely that
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the stars have to align in order for
It's like one in every 10 women have a miscarriage for their first pregnancy.
Yes, and you don't even, I mean, it's totally underreported because you have no idea how many people have chemical pregnancies. I knew because I was constantly testing.
Right.
But if I hadn't been constantly testing.
You would have never known you were pregnant.
It was kind of like that one was a bad period. The second one, I went at 6 weeks and, I wasn't expecting anything to be wrong. So I went by myself. Patrick was at work and there was nothing on the ultrasound, but a placenta gestational sac. Yeah, it was everything was empty, and so I didn't know what that meant. I called you and I was like, "What's going on?"
Right,
and you were like,
"Explain."
In a very nice way, gave me a dose of reality. Like, I don't think that
this is a viable pregnancy.
Gonna work. And then I also talked to my sister-in-law. She's been through it a couple times, and I just remember driving to the river to Marine Park, which is the parking lot of the hospital where I had Lincoln. But my mother-in-law was watching Lincoln at the time, and I was like, I can't go home. I have to, like, go to the river. So I went, and I just, like, bawled my eyes out. And then, you know, miscarriage is interesting because you think it's, like, a day or, a couple-hour thing. But I miscarried for literally a month.
it's not been an easy pregnancy.
Well, and that scared me when you were first pregnant, when you had the January pregnancy, because I'm going, okay, that doesn't work out time-wise. Do you know what I mean? Like, me as the intuitive mm-hmm. is going, that didn't work out with the timeline. And then you get pregnant again, and I'm like, yeah, that's still, we're not working out on the timeline. So it's not like you know something's going to happen, but you know, you're just like, okay, it's not that you worry about being wrong as a medium or a psychic or an intuitive, but you know what your gut's telling you.
Yeah, and you also don't want to jam it down someone's throat either, because it's like, if they're not ready.
Yeah, like, what am I going to tell you? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Carm, does it go with your cards? Oh, like, that's so, yeah, yes. Not only is it cruel to tell somebody that, but, you know, we're not always right.
Mm-hmm. And they had to, you know, put this whole balloon thing. It was a terrible experience. Their brother. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Like, mom, so-and-so thinks they may be pregnant. Bring them over. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm the mom. Let them in the house. So-and-so's going to tell their parents that they're gay tonight. If they need us to pick them up, we'll pick them up.
You know, there is a feeling of loss when you walk away from that many years of tradition. Like, I miss the music. I miss the community. I miss so much about what...
Some of the rituals. There was the rituals I miss.
There were real benefits to being in a church community.
Yes.
However, I came to the point where I decided that was outweighed by, like, the very real negatives. I mean, and not even personally, but it's just, you know, I remember in law school... it was right after the Obergefell decision came out, the Supreme Court decision that that said gay marriage is legal and you can't make it illegal. We have a right to get married to whomever we want, regardless of their genitals. So that decision had just come out, and I was at the time still going to church every Sunday. I was a church. I mean, I was I was a church person. I cantered at church. It was a big deal for me. So I went with Patrick to church, and the priest, oh my gosh, he gave this scathing homily about how we don't understand the effects of gay marriage and bringing children into this experimental household. I got up and I walked right out, and I was like, I mean, I honestly, that's, I think, when I was done, because I just don't think kids should be brought up in that kind of a community. And also, I think gay parents are awesome. Like,
no, it's not about what, it's about who loves you. You could have parents that aren't gay and don't love you.
Exactly.
That are not accepting.
You have all these children that are in
parental expectations,
that are in foster care, that need to be adopted, that need love. They just want love, and they are not discriminating. But the churches and the organizations that are in charge of these agencies sometimes are discriminating and don't feel that you're worthy of that family status. And that's ridiculous to me. I mean, that's awful.
I could hand you the microphone.
I don't need to be handed the microphone. The microphone's right here. God.
Look. She doesn't want to hold a big, long thing in her hands.
And I'm also a mom of one and almost two. Got in there. We're 24 weeks today.
We came home, and then you guys were with us for a little bit, and then Graham was like, okay, we got to go. And I looked at Uncle Dave, and I was like, what do we do? Do you know what I mean? Like, there is nothing that prepares you for the amount of knowledge you don't have.
Oh, yeah.
When you bring home your child. Like, nothing.
Yeah, it's really strange, because it's just there all the time. Like, there's not really any breaks. So you have to.
You can read a book, but it doesn't ever prepare you.
I read a book, and it didn't. You know, I have to say, I read the book, and I think the book made me more stressed. Just do it. Like, you're gonna figure it out. You just keep the kid fed. They eat, sleep, and play 3-hour cycles. That's
so something fun about being pregnant.
Nothing. What is this? What is this segment?
I don't know. I found that there were a lot of fun things about.
You just don't remember.
Taking a nap.
No. You know what I mean? No. Taking a nap when you're pregnant sucks. Because, first of all, you're going to have to pee every 5 minutes.
Well, that doesn't stop even after you're pregnant. Like, sometimes you still have to.
It's so much worse when there's a child disco dancing on your bladder all the time. And they only wake up when you decide you're going to go to sleep.
Exactly.
No, there's nothing fun about pregnancy. I'm not going to romanticize it.
Okay.
It's not. I mean,
I feel like there were moments of fun with pregnancy.
I'm trying to think of one.
Okay. All right. I don't want to be completely cynical about the whole thing.
It's not fun. I don't like it's not a good process. It just it's every single part of it is.
Bless you. See, that's truth. Maybe it was. I don't know. Okay.
Oh no. I did not pee yet. It's fine. Sometimes.
Do that with me. So this would be my. This would be.
What is this, your radio voice? Your sensual radio voice?
I don't know. Do you want me to scream? Because I could scream.
I feel like our normal volume is pretty up there.
It is. It's very loud.
So what?
All right.
How,
so here we.
How many more weeks until you give birth?
2, hopefully. Although they freaked me out at the OB-GYNs because I asked them what happens if I don't go on my due date. And they were like, oh, you know what? It's good that you brought that up because we should schedule for 41 weeks now, or you'll get stuck waiting until 42 weeks because there is a shortage on IV fluids, so they won't let you get induced prior to 40 weeks unless there's like a medical urgency. So I don't know how we don't have IV fluids in this country. And apparently there was a shortage on iron, too, which is...
So what's going on in the world that we don't know about, that there's a...
War. Or, like, his new thing, we got him fruit cups from Costco. They're really good. He likes peaches. He was into them for a couple days. Now he just drinks the juice and throws away the fruit part. It tastes the same. Just eat the whole thing.
So what I did with my children, I'm trying to think how I did this. We have organic soap. So like in our, you know, when you take a shower, like that's organic. They didn't know. It just, you don't tell them. I didn't tell them, you know, organic laundry detergent. Because I think if you just don't make a big deal out of it, you know, rather than fabric softener, I use either dryer balls or, put essential oils on them and put them in the dryer. Just things you could substitute. Instead of air freshener, use the diffuser with essential oils in them too. But again, you have to research all of that. So that's why you go to somebody who knows what they're doing. You know, I'm not going to, I don't know. It's just tough being a mom sometimes. I even get my hair colored by an organic salon. Sounds... How about that? Yeah.
I do that. Yeah. I don't know if that makes a huge difference, but I do that.
Actually, I would go anywhere.
I don't do everything.
The person who does my hair, I would go like anywhere she went. So if she decided she was going to move and go to a salon that wasn't organic, I'd be like, sure. You know, because she's a goddess and that's, I would follow her anywhere. So, yeah.
Welcome to Momsters. I am Laurie Moore and my co-host, Carmi Gugliotti, is home. Carmi, oh my God, that's not her name. Well, you know how it is when you're Italian. We never use somebody's married name. So, okay. So Carmi Sessler is home with her new infants. Oh my gosh, her sweetheart, our sweetheart, Lily, who was born last week. And she made an awesome appearance and on one of the most bizarre days in my life. So it was pretty exciting. And she was a two-push baby. So that means that it only took 2 pushes and she was born. So hooray for Carmi and hooray for Lily. And I cannot wait to meet my great niece. So we're super psyched about that. She was the best Thanksgiving gift we could receive. And everybody's healthy, and that's all you could ask for. I do feel bad for parents sometimes. It's just a lot of pressure. And I feel bad for kids too, because, you know, they go to school and discuss who got what. And of course, nothing's always equal and nothing's always fair. So this has been like kind of an insane time of my life, because I have not had a job since April and been looking for a job. And they say we're in a white collar recession, which just means they don't want to hire anybody with experience. And it's cheaper to hire somebody else. So I'm still looking for a job. And we were debating whether or not we were going to get a Christmas tree this year. We do not own a Christmas tree. We usually get a real tree, a live tree, and my husband and my daughter will go and cut it down. And it just so happened, because Thanksgiving fell so late this year, and my husband had picked up an extra job to work for the holiday, you know, over Thanksgiving weekend, that we just didn't get a tree. And I think we were all feeling really guilty about it. And I remember one year, my family, when we were growing up, we didn't have a Christmas tree, based on things that were happening in the family, not financial reasons, but, and it was like so depressing. So I was worried, because, you know, my daughter's a senior this year. What kind of mom am I not having a Christmas tree on, you know, for the holidays? So my son and I, we went online and we bought a tree on Amazon for like $70. Right? A light up tree. Actually, it probably cost as much as the real tree would be. And the lights are already on it. And it comes with like 9 different phases of lights. You could use the twinkle lights and the colored lights and the white lights and whatever it is. So the tree arrived today, and we'll have to put it together maybe tomorrow or Friday. So on our last episode, I was telling everyone how she was a 2-push baby.
She was a 2-push baby. It was, I basically threw her up. I was vomiting over the side of the bed after I napped after my epidural, which is a glorious invention. So I'm throwing up in the bag over the side of the bed. And they're like, I was like, I feel something weird. It feels funny. And the nurse said, oh, well, you're crowning. I'm like, crowning is the last part. So we skipped over, you know, all of the, you know, hard pushing and labor, and she just popped right out. Literally, one push was the head and one push was the rest of her. So yeah, the first 6 to 8 weeks of motherhood is like just survival mode, basically. Just endless cycles of feeding and then napping and changing. And this is about all she does.
And she's cute. She was so spoiled. When we came to visit Aunt Maria, my daughter, of course, held Lily the entire time. Like, and Lily just like slept with her. She was so comfortable with Maria. She just loved her.
Yes, she likes being held. Usually during the day, she's pretty good that she'll sit in one of the several little stations we have. But at night, she just really needs attention, which is fun. We're hoping to eventually get her to go from like 3 to 6 without needing attention, because then we can overlap our shifts and get a little bit of sleep. I mean, we're getting enough sleep, but definitely not full nights, either of us.
We'll have to come out and visit you again.
So you could nap. Got to take a 2-hour nap. So good.
The one time I came home, and this is when the kids were older, Ryan was making some kind of cups with chocolate and balloons. Like, they were dipping the balloons in chocolate so it would form a bowl, and that's one fun. Of the balloons popped, and there was chocolate all over my ceiling, and, you know, that's awesome. Thank God I'm not one of those mothers that are like I think there might still be chocolate on my ceiling. Yeah, but weird.
But yeah, I think that sometimes hooking up your toddler, at least with a younger person and not necessarily a grandparent. Grandparents are cool too, don't get me wrong. But like Robbie, for instance, is college age, and I think they're able to just tap into that imaginative play.
Oh, sure.
An easier way than adults are.
Yes. Yeah. I think one time when my mother was babysitting for Maria here, they made meatballs together. So Maria's like rolling the meatballs, you know, getting her hands all in it. And Oh, our little girl's awake again. Yay. Not good for you. Well, maybe so. Maybe she'll sleep later.